I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. In February of 2004, anti-government forces overthrew Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide. As rebels approached the capital, a U.S. military escort arrived to help Aristide leave the country. They delivered him to the Central African Republic, a destination of Aristide's choosing, according to American authorities. Soon after, the U.S. released a statement, written in Creole, that said Aristide had resigned his presidency and fled Haiti, fearing for his life. But Aristide disagreed. He claimed he was forced to resign by U.S. forces, kidnapped, and taken to Africa without his consent. In response, a small delegation from the U.S. and Jamaica chartered a flight to the Central African Republic to demand Aristide's return to the Caribbean. Activist Randall Robinson helped organize that trip, and he's written about it in his new book, An Unbroken Agony. Randall Robinson, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, when CBS's Nightline asked Assistant Secretary of State Roger Noriega why Aristide was taken to the Central African Republic, he answered that's where he'd like to be taken. Do you believe that?
No, that is very far from the truth. First of all, the rebels did not overthrow the government. At the time, the closest they would ever get to the capital was the point at which they entered the country from the Dominican Republic. They were a diversion. The abduction was planned and carried out fully, wholly, by the United States.
What do you think, before we move on, that the record is now? You obviously, in this book, detail an account that the U.S. government would not agree with. Where do you think most people, if they know at all about how these events transpired, do you think they agree with you or the U.S. government?
I don't think people have the facts, and I don't think people have been told the facts. I think that Secretary Powell lied. I think that Secretary Rumsfeld lied in operatic ways. They lied. Huge, sweeping stories. The fact is, and I detail this in the book, I called the Aristides at home early in the day on Saturday, February the 28th, and talked to the president. We were planning, and he was planning, to be interviewed on Sunday in the capital at the palace by Tavis Smiley, who was flying down with the group, including Tom Joyner and Cornel West, to be interviewed. The interview was to be followed by an interview with George Stephanopoulos. And so the president had no plan to leave the country. And so he knew where the rebels were. They had no chance with 200 people to overrun a capital of a million people that were sympathetic to the democracy. Aristide was overwhelmingly popular in the country, and the U.S. explanation makes absolutely no sense. When we got to the Central African Republic, upon meeting with President Bozizi, it became even clearer that the Aristides had been abducted. He was holding them against their will as a favor to France and to the United States, and before he could release them, he had to clear it with France and the United States, and he said as much.
Haiti's history is a history of revolution and colonialism. Give us just a sketch of how you feel the West has reacted, France and the U.S., to that history and to that legacy.
Disgracefully. Haiti was the richest colony in the French global empire. In 1791, in August, when 40,000 of the 465,000 slaves revolted, ex-slaves defeated the armies of France, Great Britain, Spain, in line, the best that Europe could send against them. Well, this frightened Thomas Jefferson, who said that Toussaint should be reduced to starvation. It frightened George Washington, who thought there would be a contagion of inspiration that would affect slave plantations in the United States. It jolted Western Europe because of their situation with the Atlantic slave trade. And so it was a major event in the hemisphere when in January 1804 these ex-slaves declared Haiti an independent republic. France imposed reparations in 1825, the first time in history a losing country had ever imposed reparations on the winning country, but by then Haiti had no army and France did, and they threatened to reinvade. And the United States and France and the European powers have abused Haiti from 1804 until the present, to some degree angry about the revolution that destroyed Napoleon's chances for empire, rebuked by a group of ex-slaves. They have never forgotten nor forgiven that. But to another degree, there's an enormous American sympathy with the elites in Haiti, the white elites and mulatto elites in Haiti. I don't know of any country in the world after the Reformation of South Africa where there is a more perfect correspondence between money, wealth and poverty, and skin color than you will find in Haiti. 1% of a population owns 50% of the country's wealth. And the large majority of Haitians get by on less than a dollar a day. Aristide came to power from the peasant community, a brilliant but poor man with a commitment to relieve the poverty that gripped the vast majority of Haiti's people. And he said that I'm going to raise the minimum wage from a dollar to $2 a day. That enraged the elites. And any time in Haiti's history, Frederick Douglass talks about the very same subject, any time that the blacks in Haiti push for a better lot in a way that would reduce the privilege of the elites, the United States has been sympathetic to the elites. And so what we have in Haiti is a conflict of race and class. And the United States has consistently put itself on the wrong moral side of this divide. And so that is the case with Aristide on all of these questions, with Bill Clinton and with George Bush, on questions of structural adjustment and how it would benefit the elites and how it would hurt the poor. They were on the wrong side of the issue. 70% of the people in Haiti are poor farmers who get by on an income of $225 a year. Virtually everything that the Clinton administration and the Bush administration did hurt the poor people, and they quashed President Aristide because he was sympathetic to their lot and lied to cover it up. A cursory investigation would reveal and prove what I have presented as what actually happened. And I know this because I was directly and centrally involved in the story.
Randall Robinson, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Randall Robinson is founder and former president of TransAfrica, an organization that advocates for African and Caribbean nations. His latest book is called An Unbroken Agony, Haiti from Revolution to the Kidnapping of a President. And you can hear my full conversation with Randall Robinson at our website, nprnewsandnotes.org.